Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So if I say to you that such and such kicked the bucket, you understand that there's no bucket involved, right? If your boss tells you, you know, we're downsizing, and you don't get it, and then he says, we have to let you go. Oh, so you're saying I'm fired? Most people would rather drive a pre-owned car, especially one that's certified, than a used car. And a doctor might talk about we've had a negative outcome to avoid saying that your loved one has given up the ghost. Those are euphemisms. Means nice words, a mild or indirect word or expression substituted for one considered to be too harsh or blunt when referring to something unpleasant or embarrassing, and we do it all the time, use euphemism. I think it's time to put the dog down. He's at a correctional facility. She's under the weather. I'm between jobs right now. And Jesus said to his disciples, I'm going to be leaving you for a while. I'm going to be leaving you for a while. Sometimes euphemism is one word. I don't know if you're familiar with succotash. It's a food, but it's something else. If you're hauling grain to the elevator, you're probably going to dump it into the pit. And the pit is sloped so that the grain runs down to the leg. There's a pair of legs across the street. And there are buckets on belts inside the leg that takes it up to the top. The distributor head directs the grain where it's supposed to go. And most people don't even see, of course, that the leg sits in a hole in the ground, the basement. And if you try to run things too fast, you plug the leg. And there's a clean out down in the basement, of course. And then you go get the 5-gallon bucket on a rope. It's a 2-man job. And you move out that corn. Or if you're busy, you maybe leave it there. We'll get it later. That happens again. This time it's beans and it's harvest. We're kind of busy. Then it gets wet. And then it's oats. And then little creatures appear. And then it's corn again. And why don't you just stop plugging up the leg? And then it begins to ferment after a couple weeks or a couple of months. Succotash. Probably ought to clean it out, huh? Why me? He's the main plugger. Why me? He made the mess. Why do I have to clean it up? Succotash. It's a euphemism. Like saying, he passed. Or Jesus saying, a little while and you will see me no more. And again, a little while and you will see me. And what's he talking about now? What's he talking about now? We won't see him? And then we will see him? I think he's saying that he's about to be pushing up daisies. He thinks that he's going to buy the farm. And then he says, I came from the Father into the world. I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Well, why didn't you just say so? His disciples said, now you are speaking plainly, not in any figure. Now we know that you know all things and need none to question you. By this we believe that you came from God. Just give it to us straight, Jesus. Just give it to us straight. We can handle it. Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you'll be scattered. It's not like he hasn't given it to them straight before this. How many times did he tell them very plainly, very bluntly, that we're going to Jerusalem? I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be crucified. That's pretty straight. And then I'm going to rise from the dead again. And what did they do when he told it, give it to him straight? They kind of freaked out, didn't they? kind of freaked out. And they were scattered, like he says. But these not right away. These not right away. That word is used of sheep who move hither and yon out in the pasture. Things like the heat from the wood stove that dissipates through the entire house. You don't need a blower to put something to flight to spread around, scattered. And they were. After Pentecost, right after the stoning of Stephen, a great persecution arose against the Christians and they scattered, Luke tells us, except for the 12 apostles who stayed put right in Jerusalem. The rest of them scattered hither and yon. The apostles were their leaders, and leaders can't flee persecution no more than Jesus fled from his own martyrdom. But in due time, I think the church had to get on her feet. In due time, those 12 would also scatter from Jerusalem to the far corners of the earth. They preached the gospel, and people converted to Christianity in droves, or not. And each of them, in his own course and time, entered his reward through those pearly gates that John talks about in Revelation. But first, the 12 held down the fort in Jerusalem, and it was the laymen, the non-pastors, who were scattered, and they proclaimed the gospel. Acts 8, verse 4, they proclaimed the gospel. They did not preach. That's the pastor's job. But they did proclaim, and laymen do that all the time. Proclaim the gospel, talk to people about Jesus. Got to talking to the new cashier at Tyson's. It's a couple, 3 months ago. Haven't seen her lately. I think she's been let go, probably between jobs. Somehow she found out that I was a pastor. And she said she was looking for a church. And what did I do? I invited her to come to church here. And on this Sunday morning, if you turn around and look anywhere in this church, you won't see her. Not this Sunday, not next Sunday, because that's just not the way it works. What I mean is that for many years, I have been inviting people to church, and not one person that I know of has ever accepted my invitation. Most of you are here today because somebody not me, invited or brought you or proclaimed to you the gospel. So, if you want to talk to somebody about Jesus, proclaim Jesus, then go ahead. Talk to somebody about Jesus. It's not the first time Christians have done that. Parents should be talking to their children about Jesus all the time. And children, your job is to listen and learn that and other things from them. You'll get to be an adult soon enough. It's not all it's cranked up to be. If you don't want to talk to somebody about Jesus, then bring them here. I talk about Jesus all the time. And if you don't want to bring them here, where I talk about Jesus all the time, then you can pray for them. The reason why you are the one who has to go down and clean out that rotting succotash is because of who you are. That's why it's you, the father said to his eldest son. It's not fair, said the son to his father. So, we have laymen doing what they do in the book of Acts, and the 12 are taking care of business in Jerusalem for now, and then Philip, who is not one of the 12, but he is ordained clergy. In Acts chapter 8, verse 5, we have him preaching. Meanwhile, we saw this last week, quote, Saul was ravaging the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison, where we noted they probably died. The Sixth Amendment to the United States Constitution says that the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial. And that's kind of a new thing. By an impartial jury, they have the right to be informed of charges, to call witnesses. They have a right to due process and to have a lawyer. Almost all of those things are new things, unheard of at the time of the early church. In fact, the Romans would come to determine that Christians had no legal standing, meaning do whatever you want with them, we don't care. And as for the religious leaders, the trial of Jesus lacked all the Sixth Amendment protections. He didn't have any of them. Same for the followers of Jesus. Same for the followers of Jesus. And the Fourth Amendment, the right of people, this is also a new thing, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated. Probable cause. You need a warrant. You need a warrant. And if you watch TV, the police shows you know you always need a warrant. Saul, he would go into houses, drag them off without a warrant, have them thrown into the pit, and every now and then they'd clean them out. And then, on the road to Damascus, something happened. Saul became Paul. And Philip, that ordained clergy, the one upon whom the apostle has laid hands, it's why we lay hands on at ordination, which is a one-time thing, but not at installation, which happens usually several times. Ordination is one time. Philip, find him over in Samaria. And we find in the book of Acts innumerable laymen, they're not even mentioned, talking to friends, neighbors as they scattered, inviting them to church. And we see entire households being converted to Christianity. And then there's Paul, who switched sides, and he's kind of a big deal. That's kind of a big deal, Paul switching sides. And we join him today on the second of his three missionary journeys. And he goes there on account of a vision. It means something flashing. And the vision involves a man. And maybe he was wearing a lot of ecclesiastical bling. The man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. We know Paul did not decide, I'm going to go over to Macedonia. Somebody invites him over, and Paul concluded that it was a valid call, and he made a beeline to Philippi, which is a leading city in the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. America have never really gotten into the colonization thing, have we? People and nations colonize, exporting people, culture, and power to other places. It's not a new thing. We are on the East Coast anyway, started as a colony, 613 of them, and we did that for about 150 years. Then we got tired of it, booted the Brits, and they have not forgotten it. In the 19th century, especially they, the Germans, the French, and the rest were colonizing. They did a lot of colonizing. We did not get involved. There was still a lot of land in this very large country, very much of it fertile. And why would you leave Iowa and go to South Africa? And there's good farmland in South Africa. And the Brits colonized Hong Kong, and the missionaries came. And Hong Kong has always been free, and they like their freedom. India, Canada, especially those colonized by the British like us today, are doing quite well. Looks like it's kind of over for Hong Kong. The Greeks and the Romans also colonized. And they sent Roman citizens to Macedonia, and the Jews had become their diaspora, dispersing from Palestine to places like Philippi and Macedonia. And Paul comes to town. Luke was with him, and he goes to the place of prayer. That's a synagogue down by the river. It's like when you come here to church. This is where I do the lion's share of my preaching, and you listen. This is where you come to hear preaching. As was his custom, when the liturgy, which is much like our liturgies, caused for a sermon to preach, Paul preached a sermon. And one woman named Lydia is singled out by Luke, the writer of Acts, not because she was a seller of purple, but because she was a worshiper of God. That means she was a Gentile who converted to Judaism and was no doubt familiar with Jesus, the Jewish Christ. And when exposed to the Word of God by Paul, and probably this was not her first exposure, the Word of Jesus spread quickly and far, no doubt to Macedonia. The man who wanted Paul to come, do we think that he didn't know what Paul was going to teach? Lydia, the seller of purple, worshiper of God, shares her feast day, October 25, with two other women, Tabitha, called Dorcas, who was known for her acts of mercy, particularly she made clothing for the unclothed, and Phoebe, who delivered Paul's letter to the Romans, and we would call her a deaconess. And of Lydia, Luke says, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul, and after she was baptized in her household too, they invited Paul to stay. And of course, Jesus was the Son sent by the Father to clean out the succotash of our sins. Those individual sins of thought, word, and deed. Those things that we have done and shouldn't have. The things we have left undone and should have. And add the rodents and you have a smelly, maybe it's starting to heat up, pile of something, succotash, that's really good for nothing. And why him? Because of whom he is. He's the Son of the Father. That's why it had to be him come to clean up that mess. The Son, born of the Father, born of Mary, the unique God-man Jesus Christ, who did leave them for a little while, first to crucifixion, then to resurrection, and then he came back to them like he said, but they did not recognize him at first. And when he was revealed to them, they did believe, and they were then scattered. Laymen, pastors, each to his own, and in his own way spreading the gospel of Christ. And we're still kind of doing that today, aren't we? Doesn't end. And the last words he said to them, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Indeed, he has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Amen. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. We rise for prayer.